We're reading from the writings of Baal HaSulam, the preface to the wisdom of Kabbalah. You can find it in Kabbalah for the Student. We are on item 6. Kabbalah for the Student, page 408. Item 6, preface to the wisdom of Kabbalah. You can also find it in kabbalah.info/eng, and you can ask questions live on kab.tv. Relevant questions will be aired. So we're continuing. I am trying to explain more than what I'm drawing, what I'm sketching, so that we will be able to go deeper into the quality of the discernments and not that much of external drawings. We already drew all of this a lot. So, preface to the wisdom of Kabbalah, item 6. You already know that there are 10 sefirot called Chokhmah, Binah, Tiferet, and Malchut. And they exist in every detail in reality. Meaning, we don't have more than 10 sefirot, or doesn't matter, or 4 prinot, doesn't matter how to call it. He says it's 9 and not 11. It's 10 and not 9, not 11, and so on. Any way you divide reality, there's always a paradigm, a pattern of 10. And it can't be half than that, or less, or more. Nothing other than 10. And if you take a half or a quarter, you will also find 10 there. And the first phase is called Chokhmah, or the world of Atzilut. And you can also call it Yud, or Partzuf Galgalta, or Arechanpin. It's actually endless, all those terms. But he gives it to us here only using the names Havaya, Sfirot, Olamot. So Bchina Aleph Nikret is called Chokhmah, the world of Atzilut, and Bchina Bet is called Bria, then Yetzirah, Asiya, and so on. After the second restriction, we call it Zeranpin. And now we shall clarify the 4 discernments that exist, that are detailed in every soul. Meaning, in a creature that already develops in a certain way. Just as the soul extends from Ein Sof and comes into the world of Atzilut, it is Bchina Aleph of the soul, meaning it's just the beginning. Yet there, it is not still not discerned by that name, since the name Neshama, soul, implies that there is some difference between her and the emanator. So when we're talking about the development of the creature here, we're weighing the creature according to how different it is from the emanator. And that's called his uniqueness, his benefit, his greatness, the extent to which it's different. It's like we learned from Baal HaSulam's Shamati article, which is inanimate, vegetative, animate, and speaking, that the inanimate doesn't yet have a great will to receive, so it follows whatever the host wants. That's it. There is barely a difference between it and the host. And by that difference, she departed from Ein Sof and has been revealed as its own authority. But as long as it does not have a form of a kli, meaning its own desire, there is nothing to distinguish it from his essence, to merit her own name, meaning a soul. There's no name like that yet. We call it like that, but it's named after the future. So you already know that Bchina Aleph of the kli is not considered a kli at all, and it is entirely annulled but in the light. And this is the meaning of what is said about the world of Atzilut. So it sounds like it's worse. Because if we're talking about the world of Atzilut, and we're talking about from above downwards, then there are no creatures there that are differentiated from the Creator. When we come to Atzilut from below upwards and become included in Atzilut with our ego, on top of our ego, then we come to a state where there is no difference between us and the Creator, despite all the ego. That's a different story. That's the difference between above downwards and below upwards. But the being in the world of Atzilut is when there is no difference between the Creator and the creature. He calls it He, His life, and His self are one. He, His name, the Kli, the light, in short, are one. We're reading from page 569, item 6 there. And even the souls of all living creatures, while traversing the world of Atzilut, are still considered attached to His essence. Meaning, everything that exists in the world of Atzilut, all the phases 1, 2, 3, 4, it's all complete godliness. There's no difference. It doesn't matter how much will to receive can exist in each and every one. The light and the Kli are equal there. That's the essence of the world of Atzilut. From above downwards, it's something that happens by the Creator. From below upwards, it happens by the correction of the creature. That's clear? Questions? Again, we're reading from page 569 in Kabbalah for the student. What? I didn't understand what you tried to explain in this item. Try to listen more carefully, internally, and then you will listen. I conveyed something specifically for you. I'm not kidding. Just for you. Just try to respect my words better and try to understand their inner message. What I wanted to tell you is that if you reach the world of Atzilut, you will be like the Creator. What? You don't hear. You're shocked. Well, item 7. This above-mentioned B'china Bet rules in the world of Bria, the Kli of the desire to bestow. Meaning, although it's a Kli, it's a desire to bestow. You understand? You see the difference? Meaning, a desire to receive, which is corrected and feels that it's a Kli, yet a Kli of bestowal. There's a difference here between the matter of the Kli and the action of the Kli. And so, when the soul cascades into the world of Bria and achieves from the world of Atzilut into the world of Bria, meaning it lowers itself from godliness on one hand, on the other hand, it is revealed as a matter, as a desire, and it achieves the Kli that exists there, meaning it becomes coarser. It is then considered a neshama, soul. That's a very special term. Why do we call our internality a soul? This means that it has already separated from his essence and merits its own name, neshama, soul. Therefore, the most exalted thing we say about us is a soul. Why? Because it's where we don't lose our personality, our self, on the one hand, and on the other hand, we are with the Creator in contact, in connection, in sympathy, accord, equivalence. And when we rise to Atzilut, that word neshama disappears from us. Is it uprooted from us? That's it. We're not neshama anymore. Chaya, or even higher, yechida. No, it's like that until the final correction. not including the final correction. And in the final correction, the name, until the final correction, the name Neshama, soul, remains, because we cannot be in adhesion with the Creator in the world of Atzilut the way it is, because we always have those parts of the Lev HaEven that we cannot yet correct. That's why the name soul remains as the maximum that we are able to correct on a regular basis. And all the rest is just additions or diminishments and so on. Yet this is a very pure and fine kli, as it is an equivalence of form with the emanator. Meaning it is in equivalence as much as it can with the emanator. It's not, doesn't mean that it's fully equal in form, but as much as it's possible. If you can't do it with Lev HaEven, you can't. For this reason, it is considered complete spirituality. So just understand that the term soul is a reality where we are corrected as much as we can, and we can't be more corrected than that. In the meantime, when the final correction comes, things will change. Questions?
Question of a student from Ukraine. He's asking, what's the common between name and neshama? We still haven't continued to the smaller degrees, which are ruach and nefesh. Ruach in the world of Yetzirah and nefesh in the world of Asiya, including this world. And therefore, what is common between them is what we can correct within ourselves constantly, in the constant state, is neshama. And chaya and yechida is in the rising, in the festivals, as it's called, when there is in the world of Atzilut. Therefore, our purpose is the degree of neshama. That's why we call our internality according to this degree, neshama. At the end of correction, our internality will be called yechida. Or even more so, because yechida is a degree. Even though it's the highest degree, at the end of correction, it's a degree that includes everything. I don't know, there's no name for it. Because a name shows about a certain discernment between one thing to the other. In the world of Atzilut, he doesn't say what name the Kli is called. He just says the name Neshama. And here is the world of Bria. But in the world of Atzilut, he doesn't say what the Kli is called. He says when it cascades, it comes and reaches there, and so on. Because we have a problem here. If we reach adhesion, complete adhesion, so then how can you name the creature? Because the light and vessel are equal, there's no difference. And just like we have no names for the Creator, because the name shows about a gap between the light and clear, so in the same way I can't do it towards myself if I'm in such a degree. Michael from St. Louis and Maxim from Moscow are asking, who are they or what are the souls of the other people that are in the souls of the other people? It's just desires. We're not talking about images or anything that are go on four or walk on two or with a tail or swim in the sea like fish or 40 legs like those small insects. We're talking about the will to receive, that even in its highest degree, in each and every degree, in each and every sphere, to its width, there's Yud Kei Vav Kei, its own Havaya, the 10 personal spherot, and then there is inanimate, vegetative, animate, and speaking. Therefore, when the will to receive goes through the world of Atzilut, in every degree, every level, also there is the inanimate, vegetative, adamant, and still of his own. Therefore, also in the degree of inanimate, you have the degrees of inanimate, vegetative, adamant, and steel. And the same in vegetative, you have the 4 degrees, and so on. That's why he says that the four desires that are inanimate, vegetative, animate, and still, when they go through Atzilut, they are complete godliness. But you can say they feel it, they don't feel it. Who are these roots? What are they? No important. Right now, doesn't interest me how this desire is later going to be realized. If it's in the world of Atzilut, then it's godliness. That desire will receive a different form in our world, a corporeal form, the form of matter. Never mind what, but what is this matter? Who is this matter? It's nothing. It's the will to receive that is viewed in my screen in a form of either a person or a plant, or an object. So what? But that's how I depict it in my sense. But outside of my sense, it's a force. And that's how I depict it. I'm constructed in such a way that I can grasp rocks, plants, lions, animals, human beings. That's how I depict them, these images in my screen. But my screen works according to these vectors, like on a computer. But that's how he depicts it for me. These vectors, they're desires. They're the unification of desires, the combination of the different desires, and that brings me these images, and that's it. Everything is just forces, and there is no more. And what seems to us that there are images, objects, it's what I depict on my screen. Like Baal Sulam says, that in the back of one's head there is a screen, and there's a photographic mechanism, and that depicts reality for us, the reality that's external. And outside there is a force that works upon me, and that alone. Therefore we call this world the imaginary world, because it's only depicted on my screen. Why isn't it depicted in a form of forces? It is. It's exactly the way I feel these forces. Why was it constructed this way? He explains it in the preface to the Book of Zohar on item 34, he says that by having this inner perception, and it seems to us that it's external, this gap between the truth and what it seems to us, that gives us this volume to recognize the difference between the creature and the creator. By that I can see how far I am from him, how I live in the lie according to what is truly happening. I can see my diversion of my perception of where I am to what exists outside. And this gap shows me how I have to correct my perception in order for it to be felt only within me. And the spiritual perception is only within the person. You have to think about that during the day. Yes. Baal Sulam writes about it in the introduction to the Book of Zohar, item 34. He says, our sense of sight, that we see a huge, vast world, and it's all of its fulfillments, the truth is we see all that only in our internality, meaning in the back of our mind there's like this photographic machine that depicts everything we see, and everything we see external to us is not true. And then in continuation he writes that we have to thank his providence that he made this photographic machine that allows us to see and attain anything that's external to us, because by that he gave us the force to know and to measure everything from the inside and from the outside, and without that we wouldn't have most of our intellect. Okay.
Oleg from London.
Oleg from London is asking, so what am I? Am I a body? Am I a perception? No. Let's stay here. You have to ask questions that are close to our scrutiny now, as much as possible. Item 8. The above mentioned Pchina Gimel rules in the world of Yetzira, containing a little bit of the form of the will to receive. Hence, when the soul cascades into the world of Yetzira and achieves that kli, because the place determines it, it exits the spirituality of the neshama and is then called ruach. This is because here its kli is already mingled with some aviut, coarseness, meaning the little bit of the will to receive within it. Yet, it is still considered spiritual, because, why? Because this measure of aviut is insufficient to completely separate it from its essence and merit the name body, which stands in its own right. Meaning, either way we say in the world of Yetzira that it's Beinonim, that it's so-so. On the one hand, there is a will to receive, but this will to receive still hasn't been separated from the Creator completely, and still hasn't been able to turn into a creature completely. So it's kind of a pendulum. The intermediate state is really unclear. It's half-half between righteous and wicked. All these discernments that come, because the essence of the world determines whoever's in that world, what state he's in, which discernments he's in, and that's determined. We can't be in the world of Yetzirah and be righteous. No? Tzaddik, righteous is in the world of Yetzirah, in the world of complete righteousness is in the world of Atzilut, meaning change a place changes his essence, his luck. Therefore, we're learning about the places now, about the worlds, that they determine what state a person is in if he's there. This environment determines the state of the kli, that when this soul cascades to the world of Yetzirah, that immediately it takes upon itself this quality of Yetzirah, the ability to overcome. It feels itself towards the Creator, towards itself. Her existence in the world of Yetzirah, her being in that world, that determines it. Her dwelling there. When there's a vessel for me in the world of Yetzirah, for me, it's two different terms. No. If you're in the world of Yetzirah, you're like the world of Yetzirah. There's no difference between you and between that world. No difference. You're adhered to that same reality. That reality is within you. Let's put it that way. You think and you want and you determine and you decide. Everything is called the world of Yetzirah. It's something that fulfills you and completely upgrades you. You can't think like in the world of Yetzirah or Asiyah or Atzilut. No. If you're in the world of Asiyah, that's what you are now. Yes. I don't understand why you're not letting us analyze, do analysis and synthesis. Well, I'm trying to understand this path. I understand what you're asking. There are terms here. We can break them up like a puzzle and reconnect them. Clear vessel, the vessel cascades, the soul cascades, what happens? And you're saying it's all in this unification. We have to open our hearts and feel it. I don't understand what you're saying. The will to receive, that cascades and comes down to the world of Yetzirah. It receives the qualities of that same world. And then it feels that it's still connected to godliness. But there's a difference between it and godliness. That it's in between, in the middle, intermediate. And what's he saying? That his degree is called the light of Ruach, and it came out of the spirituality of Neshama. That's not really belonging to the Creator. He has this sort of independence. I don't know what to say. What analysis synthesis can you do? Do it. Am I disturbing you? Ask in a precise manner and I'll understand what you want. A precise question is, should I take apart these terms? As I said, kli, neshama, what will I take apart? Kli what? To four discernments? I don't understand what you're asking. The question is, how can I feel these things now? No, that's different completely than what you said before. You wanted to understand. Now you're asking about feeling. How can I feel? Be consistent. I'm sorry, I don't understand what you're asking. To understand and to feel are two different things. Analysis, synthesis has nothing to do with the sensation, with the feeling. And you're also not on a degree that you can do it. What can you do? It's the world of spirits. Does that help you in any way? Do analysis, go ahead, let's see. Yes.
So the only thing we can feel right now is just like it says in item 55, 155, just to want, to long, of course. But still, to describe it, he writes this for us, so we can somewhat describe the difference between the levels. We don't understand what it means to be on those degrees themselves, what it means to be him and his name is one, or what it means to be a little less than that. We have to try a little bit, as much as we can. What else? I don't know. I think that what he writes, what I'm adding here and there is, I don't know, ask more. Yes. What is the element that changes between world and another? The quality of the desire. What governs the desire? What values are there with respect to the giver? How strongly is the giver found in the desire, more important than the desire itself? That is the determining factor. No more than that. There is no more than that. There is a will to receive, and there are two discernment there. Self-benefit, benefit of the giver. That's it. Like the guest and the host, what is the inner state of the guest? Is it a state of bria? Is it a state of atzilut, yetzirah, or asiya? Accordingly, it responds, reacts to the host. If it's in the world of Asiya, it swallows up all the refreshment. If it's in the world of Yetzira, then there starts to be doubts. Yes, no, I don't know. In the world of Bria, he already makes calculations on each and everything. He knows he won't be mistaken. Although he's a guest, he can still prove to the host that he's giving pleasure to the host in each and every of his actions. And if he is internally in the world of Atzilut, then he swallows up everything, like in the world of Asiya, but he does it for the host for sure, because they are in adhesion, without any difference between them. So we're talking about the essence, not the essence, let's say the condition or the inner state, the inner level of the kli.
Wenn man
Yes. And what stays permanent between as you move through the levels? The desire is permanent. What changes in it is the level of its correction. The desire itself doesn't change at all. The actions change over the desire, opening it more, concealing it more, in order to add the intention. The desire itself doesn't change. It's a donkey. If you sit on it, you drive it. Like Bala Sulam says, you have a donkey that spins the stones. This is how it was in Jerusalem. So they put a bag on his face, on his eyes, and they give him seeds to eat. And that's it. They don't know what they do. They know that if they move, they can eat. If they stop moving, they can't eat. That is the meaning of a donkey. They can't work differently. They need pleasure. It needs the pleasure. Without it, it doesn't work. The intention on top of it is called Adam, the man that leads the donkey. The donkey rider. He determines where the donkey goes, what for, when, with what intention. And it doesn't have to do with the will to receive. The will to receive doesn't understand intentions. That's the great thing about the will to receive. It gives you itself. Okay, do whatever you want with me. But no, this is my nature. So because it's so stupid, because it doesn't change, you can build the shape. You can shape it into the form of Adam, if you just know how to use it correctly. Let it enjoy. Just install the intention on top of it. This is very not simple. The reason or the view of Torah is very opposite to the view of the landlords here. One who's greater than his friend, his inclination is greater than himself. But he knows how to give pleasure to the desire in a way that he's able to ride it towards the right goal. That is... Well... Yes. You said that in the spiritual world, the picture is perceived within. What do you mean? What does it mean to see the picture within? That there is nothing outside. But how do you see it within? You see it, it's like you open your belly and you see what's in your belly. You know, just like the way you talk about this. You know, sometimes you're saying, this guy is talking from his guts. We call it internality. In the meantime, we refer to this as our interior. Yes, but how do I look into myself? You are inverting your view. Just like you think you're watching us outside of you now, you, in the same way, you begin to feel and see 100% clearly, truthfully, how to put it, certainly, that it's all happening within you. That it's happening within. Just like that. Literally. And you understand the anomaly. You understand the aberration, the mistake. And it's not a mistake, let's say the game that is given to you deliberately, that you see both from inside and from outside. You feel both pictures and the gap between them as a display of how more you need to advance in order to combine them. So there will be no difference between the outside and the inside, and there will be no contradiction. When you will begin to feel that, you will see that it gives you space. It gives you clear indication, clear measurement on how, on where you are, and what more shades you need to complete between truth and false. It's not truth and false. It's like a display that just shows you your discernments that are not corrected yet. Otherwise, you wouldn't identify anything. How would you identify that you are not close to godliness yet, or yes? And when you see a bit of the picture outside and a bit of it inside, is something that already gives you tools, means. Yes, Glizerin. Let's say a desire that everyone will love me and just me. In what way will it develop? It stays the way it is all the time. If I feel that everyone loves me, then it means I'm in the world of Atzilut. Now, what are you looking at me? Yeah, only me. What? You don't believe me? No, I want everyone to love me. Bensi wants everyone to love him. No, that's not Atzilut. You didn't ask this way. You didn't ask about that. What is he telling us here? He tells us that it doesn't matter if you come from below upwards, from the creature to become like the creator, or the opposite, from above downwards. When you reach the state of Atzilut, there is no difference in the whole of creation. You are in complete adhesion with the Creator, and all the actions, thoughts, desires, plans, states of yours and of the Creator is one and the same. There is no one and second or anything like that. You are just attached, adhered to each other in one point. And if you come from above downwards, then it's a raw desire yet. It's not considered a creature yet. It doesn't have a sense of its existence. If you come from below upwards, you come with a very big will to receive. Until you come to the world of Atzilut, you accumulate a billion times greater desire than what you have now, and it is completely entirely corrected to match the Creator. And that's how it is. Well, this is how it is. That's the wonder in the amazing thing in creation, that you don't lose your independence, your self. You know, me, Misha Glizerin, with my beautiful ears, and yet I am completely attached to the Creator. The feeling of detachment does not disappear together with the feeling of adhesion. Otherwise, you can't say he himself and his essence are one. Why do you say that the light and the kli are the same? Because there is a light, there is a kli, and yet they are the same. I don't think we can really get stuck on this more. Let's continue. Item 9. Bchina Daled rules in the world of Asiya, which is the complete kli of the great will to receive, meaning the true great will to receive. How do we know? And when did the will to receive was small? It was small first, and then it grew? What? As it developed, it became greater? Where do we see such a thing? How does it grow? By what? It becomes revealed. It unfolds. That's it. Only that. It's like the physicists say that there was a big bang, and from just a drop of matter, that created the whole matter of the universe. First they said it's a very small thing, now they're saying it's something 10 centimeters radius or something like that. Later they'll say something else. The truth is, it doesn't matter. The thing is that the will to receive is the same will to receive, but it just becomes revealed. How? By the concealment of the light. Very simple. It comes from En Sof, where the light and Kli are equal in their quantity, quality, essence, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter in what. Now, the light starts shrinking within the Kli, diminishing more and more and more. The more they descend, the more the Kli decreases, and then the will to receive increases in terms of the combination. And then we reach a state where the will to receive becomes apparent. Hence, it obtains a completely separated and distinguished body from his essence. Distinguished from what? From him. Meaning, those who are found in the world of Asiyah feel that they are separated from his essence. Do you feel that you're separated from his essence? Do you feel that there's him and that you're separated from him? If you feel that, then you're in the world of Asiyah. Meaning, we'd wish to feel that. Which stands in its own right. Meaning that there is seemingly a possibility to be in the Creator's domain, but I'm standing in my own domain. And the light in it is called Nefesh, from the word Hebrew word rest, indicating that the light is motionless in and of itself, meaning that it's completely operated, it can't do any motion of its own. We have an imagination that we're doing everything we do. Who's the Creator? Where's the Creator? Meaning, we are... You should know that there is not a single element in reality that is not comprised of the whole Abiyah. Meaning that even though you're in the world of Asiyah, you, when you're in spirituality, you already have some discernments on all the worlds, even the world of Atzilut, which is complete adhesion, where you can determine something about your state in the world of Asiyah. And if you didn't have Abiyah, while being in the world of Asiyah, you would not feel that you're in the world of Asiyah. But you would just feel the way we feel here. Where am I? What am I? I don't know. I just fell into here. Some mother and father gave birth to me in some hospital. That's what I am. That's how it is. Understood?
Meaning the world of Asiyah is a spiritual world, and we consider it as Abiyah, which is the final spiritual degree. It's a great degree that a person understands his attitude towards the emanator, that he is completely activated on the one hand. He has no movement on his own, no independent movement. He can't determine any action according to the emanator. He has no strength for it. I'd want to do it, but I can't do it in action. He's in the first restriction, because he measures himself according to the emanator. He has light, the light of Nefesh, without its own independent movement, but according to that he determines all of his discernments. He understands what it is to be in the world of Yetzirah, Atzilah, Atzilut, the higher worlds. He understands that, he feels that. He feels that to the extent that he can in the world of Asiyah, but he still recognizes it. Just like a child can say, my father went to work, my mother went to the supermarket. He has no idea what work is or what a supermarket is, he's never been there, but he knows that from there you bring money, from there you bring food. And my sister went to play with her friends at the park. He's never been to the park, but he knows, he can recognize it to some extent. We don't recognize this from far, these worlds. Meaning the world of Asiya is serious matter. Just like you write in the introduction to Book of Zohar, how a person rises, reaches the Yesod of Malchud Asiya, Hod, Netzach, Tiferet, and so on. Yes. Item 10, page 570. Thus, you find that this nefesh, the light of life that is dressed in the body, you see, body is called the will to receive. This nefesh is called light of life. And he tells us about the last degree, about nefesh in the world of Asiya. It extends from his very essence, existence from existence, meaning from the highest place, until the world of Asiya. As it traverses the four worlds of Abiya, it becomes increasingly distant from the light of his face until it comes into its designated kli called guf, body, meaning the will to receive, which is called that way on its last degree. This is considered that the kli has completed its desirable form, meaning its completed desirable form of the will to receive, and desirable, meaning for its next role, because he cascaded from above to below by the concealment of the light, and he reached the desirable state. That's it. The Creator has completed its action on the kli, on the vessel, and now the kli seemingly begins to work independently. On the other hand, how can it work independently if it's the world of Asiya, that we say it has no independent movement at all? Or is it from above to below that he has no movement, like there were movements from the higher degrees? And now, we'll see what opportunity there is. It's as if this whole spiritual vessel was brought to a state that it has no movement, it has nothing. Soon it will stop feeling itself. What can you demand from it? Why is it called the desirable form? That's what he says. This is considered that the kli has completed its desirable form. And even if the light in it has so diminished that its origin becomes undetectable, meaning he doesn't even know where he came from at the end of the world of Asiya, that there is an emanator who wants, who demands something from him and so on, this is already talking about a state close to our reality. Through engagement in Torah and mitzvot, in order to bestow contentment upon the Maker, one purifies one's kli, one's vessel, called guf, until it becomes worthy of receiving the great abundance in the full measure included in the thought of creation when he created it. Meaning at the end of the development, we reach a state that we receive all the abundance the Creator wanted to give us. And alongside with that, we'll be in adhesion with Him, equivalence of form. Why? He says, because it's in order to bestow contentment upon the Maker. That's how we have to develop. And this is what Rabbi Hanania meant by the Creator wished to cleanse Israel, hence He has given them plentiful Torah and mitzvot. Meaning that we will be purified. We'll purify our will to receive. We'll make it pure by doing these actions called Torah and mitzvot in order to reach adhesion with the Creator, with our entire vast will to receive, that Him and His name will be one. Questions? Yes? Simon from Romania is asking, how can we understand Rav's what he says here, that bestowal is in the desire, in the guf? How can I bestow if not from my desire? What do I have besides a desire? If it's just a desire, I can't do anything with it. But if I'm in this desire, that I can receive pleasure, then by receiving this pleasure I can bestow to someone. Meaning my desire becomes to be a vessel, a means to bestow the pleasure. When? Only on the condition that I'm in contact, in connection with someone. He loves me, I love him. Meaning love thy friend as thyself has to be a condition. And then with my pleasure that I enjoy, that I bestow to him, that I receive this pleasure in order to give pleasure, to bestow contentment to the Maker. So if there's a connection, if there's love between us, that when I enjoy, he feels, and when he enjoys, I feel, then this receiving becomes to be the means of this relationship, of this connection. And then I use all of my will to receive, all to its full extent, I use it, and the more of this will to receive that's revealed, the more I can bestow. Yes, more? That's it? Everything's clear? Oh, okay. Yes. I didn't really understand what you just said. Here he writes that the means is that if we use Torah mitzvot in order to bestow contentment upon the Maker, because I guess you can use Torah mitzvot maybe not to bestow contentment, we might be able to use it to receive reward in this world, in the next world, in order to profit. Is that possible or not? I don't know, I guess so. I remember people said, you have a kippah, you're wearing a yarmulke covering your head, so why are you doing that? Wait till you get older, when you start, when you go into pension, you'll have more time, then you can start preparing for your court case up above. Now you're young, enjoy life. So there are those, as you see, who work in order to receive a reward. They think that after a person dies, he has something, a reward. Reward for what? For keeping something. You tell me what to do, what to keep, and tomorrow I'll receive reward. What reward? What I want. I want to have everything in heaven. What do I need? Everyone imagines heaven differently. I don't know. Maybe you can imagine 70 virgins. Someone else can imagine something else. But we say that heaven is a state that we are in bestowal with the Creator, in mutual bestowal, in connection and love of the other. And by that, we'll conclude. Before we continue to the third part, we'll sing a song together.
Chavele.